It is our virtuous deeds that will guarantee us salvation in the hereafter. And it is our commitment to Islam and our commitment to following the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as staying away from sins, which will inshallah save us from grief in the hereafter. Having said this, it is important that we understand that whatever we do in the masjid, generally in the masjid is reserved. We come to the masjid to do virtuous deeds. And just like we have heard the saying time and again, that people, they bring their work home with them. So similarly, we should bring the masjid environment to our home. In this way, when we bring the masjid environment to our homes also, they will become like the masjid. And the people and residents of that home, they will benefit from that environment. It is similar to how our houses, they are connected with the main water supply. And whenever we turn the tap on, the water, it flows and it is clean water. As opposed to if our house was connected to the plumbing, then dirty water would be coming into our house. So if we are focused on the dunya and the things which are related to dunya, which are evil, then this will come into our homes and it will not benefit us in any way. When our house is connected to the masjid, when it is a conduit to the masjid, then we will benefit and everyone else will benefit. So I was saying that we need to do acts of virtue, and virtuous deeds in Islam will guarantee us salvation and it will protect us from grief in the hereafter. So inshallah, there are many deeds which are equivalent to the Hajj. So I went through some kitabs today and I found 6 ahadith which, if a person does any of the acts in these ahadith, it is equivalent to a Hajj, an optional Hajj. Of course, if a person has not done Hajj, then that Hajj, these deeds, they do not constitute a farz Hajj. But inshallah, this person will receive the reward of doing an optional Hajj. So these deeds, or some of these deeds, I'm sure there are many other ahadith, but these are the 6 that I have found. It's possible that there may be more. So some of these deeds are wudu at home before proceeding for salat with jama'ah. So in a riwayah, in a narration of Abu Dawud, Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one who purifies himself, meaning that he makes wudu at home and leaves his home to attend the first salat in congregation, receives the reward of a haji in the state of ihram. And if he leaves for salat al-duha, the chasht prayer, this is the before the midday, that prayer, he gets the reward of an umrah. So we should make it a point that before we leave our homes for the fard prayer, we should always perform our wudu at home, and we should always be in the state of wudu before entering the masjid. It is a very simple deed, a very simple act, And because of this simple act, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward of a haji in the state of ihram. As well as if a person does wudu at home, then comes to the masjid to offer salat al-duha jasht, he gets the reward of a umrah, a very simple deed. This narration is about salat al-ishraq, and it is mentioned in Tirmizi. It is an authentic narration. The narrator is Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. So he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever offers his Fajr Salat in congregation and then remains seated, making the dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until approximately 15-20 minutes after sunrise, and after which he offers 2 rakats of Salat Ishraq, he will receive the reward of 1 complete Hajj and 1 complete Umrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the words tammatin, 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 complete, 3 times. So this is also a very easy act, that after the Fajr prayer, one sits doing dhikr, and he continues to sit until approximately 15-20 minutes after sunrise, after which 2 rakats are offered, then he will receive the reward of 1 complete Hajj and 1 complete Umrah. The third hadith is going to the masjid to acquire knowledge. This is also an authentic narration found in Tabarani and Mustadrak al-Hakim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, that whoever goes to the masjid for the purpose of learning or teaching knowledge receives the reward of a haji whose hajj was perfect, meaning that he did not do anything which would incur a penalty, because generally when people go for Hajj, they do sometimes things which are unintentional and it incurs a penalty. Of course, the person is not sinful. So this person, just to go to the masjid to acquire knowledge or learning knowledge or teaching knowledge, that person receives the reward of a haji whose Hajj was perfect, meaning that he did not incur any penalty. Then there's a narration regarding Umrah in Ramadan. This is a riwayah of Muslim, where Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by Umm Sinan while on his way to Hajj, and he asked that, "Why didn't you accompany me for Hajj?" he inquired. She said that, "We only have 2 camels. One my husband has used to be with you in Hajj, and the other is needed for transporting water." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Umrah in Ramadan equals the reward of Hajj with me." This is a riwayah of Muslim. So Umm Sinan, her husband, went for Hajj. And of course, in those days, the mode of transportation and conveyance was camels. So one of the camels was used by her husband, while the other was used for transporting water. So because she did not perform the Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ asked her, because Hajj is one of the fara'id, so she gave a genuine udhr, a genuine excuse, that it was not possible for me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Umrah in Ramadan equals the reward of Hajj with me. So we should always try to make it a point to do Umrah in the month of Ramadan, if our time permits and if we have the capability of doing so. The fifth hadith is to recite Subhanallah 100 times in the morning and evening, a very easy amal. As a matter of fact, all of these a'mal, all of these deeds are very easy. The Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who recites Subhanallah 100 times in the morning and another 100 times in the evening is like the one who performed Hajj 100 times. And Subhanallah. That he who recites Subhanallah 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening is like the one who performed Hajj 100 times. The Tasbih Fatima, it can be inclusive, and it could be part of this hadith, that the Tasbih Fatima that we read after the Salat, Subhanallah, 33 times, if we do it 5 times, then automatically a person receives the reward of doing the Hajj 100 times. This is a very easy act of virtue. This is a riwayah found in the compilation of Tirmizi. And finally, serving one's parents. Sayyidina Anas, this is a riwayah found in Tabarani's collection, and Abu Ya'la Abu Ya'la's collection, this is an authentic narration. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu reports that a man came to Prophet ﷺ and said, I wish to participate in jihad, but I cannot afford it. So Rasulullah ﷺ inquired if any of his parents were alive, to which he said, yes, my mother is alive. Rasulullah ﷺ said that show Allah how you serve her. If you do so, you will be like a haji or a mu'tamir, one doing an umrah, and a mujahid, one striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just serving the parents, just serving the parents in any way, and if our parents are not alive, they have passed, then to make dua for them, this is also serving them. This is also serving them, to pray for our parents, to pray for our mother and father, this is also serving them. So that person, he will receive the reward of a haji or a mu'tamir, one doing an umrah, as well as a mujahid, one striving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. The scholars, they have mentioned many other narrations. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahmatullah alayhi, was a very great tabi'i, one of the students of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, that attending the Jummah is better according to me than a nafil voluntary hajj. So even attending the Jum'ah, we should always make it a point that we attend the Jum'ah, and our Jum'ah is not missed, because some of the Tabi'een, they considered offering the Jum'ah to be better than doing a nafil voluntary hajj. And we know the reward of a hajj, that the reward for a hajj, a complete hajj, and a hajj without any kind of rafath, any kind of sin, is forgiveness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Attending some of the Sahaba, they have said that attending the Eid al-Fitr Salat equals the reward of Umrah, and the Eid al-Adha Salat equals that of a Hajj. Some Sahaba were of the opinion. Isha Salat in congregation, a reliable Tabi'i, Hazrat Uqba ibn Abdul Ghafir, rahimahullah, said, offering the Isha Salat in congregation equals the reward of Hajj, and the Fajr in congregation equals the Umrah. So these were Tabi'een. Of course, the Tabi'een, they were students of the Sahaba, so it's logical that they heard this narration from the Sahabi, from the companion, who of course heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah said, fulfilling the needs of a fellow Muslim is better for you than one Hajj after another, meaning that one does Hajj and then he does a Hajj subsequently the following year. So this is mentioned in the Sharah, the commentary of Ihya Ulumuddin. So just fulfillment of all obligations for our fellow Muslim, this is better than a Hajj, one Hajj after another. Abstinence from haram, forbidden acts, are also more virtuous than Nafil Hajj. Some of the pious predecessors said to abstain from an iota of wrong is better than 500 Nafil Hajj. Fudail ibn Ayyad rahimahullah, the great sage, he was a very great Sufi, mystic, great sage of his age, said that there is no Hajj or jihad that is more better than protecting one's tongue, i.e. against sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq.